Hi, this is Nathan McKenzie from Superman the Animated Podcast. In this podcast, I'm currently talking about Superman the Animated Series, which ran for 3 seasons, comprising of 54 episodes, and currently, we are talking about their 3rd and final season. So why don't you come join us? You can find us on all your favourite podcatchers, or you can reach out to us on social media at SupAnimatedPod on Twitter, or TheMWord81 on Twitter. You can also find us on Facebook at TheMWord81. Or you can go to the webpage, www.themword81.com, or send us an email at themword81@yahoo.com. Hope to see you there.
I'm Alan.
I'm Rebecca.
And you're listening to the DCAU podcast. This week we are covering Wonder Woman's Bloodline.
Without the apostrophe S, Wonder Woman Bloodlines. It would be better if it was called Wonder Woman's Bloodlines.
So, this is the second last DCAMU film.
Oh, is it? I know you've told me this a million times. I'm very sorry, everyone. You all know I don't, like, I don't keep this information in my brain. I like being surprised every week.
Find out these things. This is also the first film not to be led by the Justice League, mm-hmm. Batman, or Superman, or the Suicide Squad, or Teen Titans, I suppose. Yeah. But it's like,
yeah, I mean, one of the teams is what we're saying.
Yeah, it's at this point I realise we've not had if you count Flashpoint, we've had one Flash-led one. Mm-hmm. We've not had any... Really, the Green Lanterns have kind of just been a non-factor.
I mean, unfortunately, that is unfortunate. Like, because there are really interesting characters in amongst these. You know, I like Green Lantern. I know people think it's pretty dull, depending on which lantern you pick. But I think there's interesting stories with all of them, so...
Mm-hmm. So yeah, this film, it's a Wonder Woman film. I think it's all famous Wonder Woman villains that appear in it.
I wouldn't be surprised. Like, I've never read any Wonder Woman, so that I can definitely not help you with.
The voice cast I actually thought the voice cast was very good.
Yeah, they were fine.
They've not done a lot of stunt casting. It's all kind of. Well, the one you'd maybe argue is Rosario Dawson, but...
Yeah, I'd probably vaguely argue that, but, you know, not really, because she's done quite a lot of voice work. Yeah. So she's not like... and it doesn't say, you know, it's not like the covers, like, with Rosario Dawson, which is usually how you can tell that...
Yeah.
That it's sort of been done as a stunt.
Yeah. Because it's people like Kimberly Brooks, Courtney Taylor, Cree Summer, who are all kind of mainly, well, certainly in kind of more recent times, have done a lot of voice work. Michael Dorn also has a
cameo
as well.
Yeah.
Love that. I've never actually watched a Star Trek TV series, now I meant to think about it.
Shocking.
I know, I should hand my nerd card in straight away.
So, I mean, anyway, there is a lot of it though, so you know, hey.
We start the film 5 years before the main events of the film, and I think this is meant to be set about a year before Justice League War.
Right.
So,
because I was a little bit confused about where it fit in, which annoyed me a little bit. I was like, why is all this weird? I don't know. There seem to be a few jumps there.
There's a few bizarre things with the, yeah. So, for example, so that would suggest to me that the events of the DCAMU take place from about 2014 to 2020, which the way it was kind of portrayed, that means either Batman was somehow managed to operate completely in the shadows for like 10 years beforehand, because he had to somehow have enough time to file a Damien.
Yeah.
Unless it was like day two of him becoming Batman. Tally's like, hello.
Jeez. I was just laughing at the very thought.
So anyway, the film opens with Steve Trevor and a bunch of other fighter pilots being attacked by parademons.
Yeah, blah, blah, usual Steve Trevor.
And Steve Trevor is saved from his burning crashing plane by Wonder Woman. Steve wakes up covered in horrific burns, but it doesn't matter because they have a cure-everything ray.
I know, right? I didn't know they had this. This was new.
This is new. And I think this was created by the same person who writes the holding pattern names for Avatar equipment. Mm-hmm. Because this is like, I think it's something like the purple healing ray.
I know, like this ran, like it's never come up before. Like we all know about her invisible plane, about her whip. But yeah, this is a new thing, right?
And it's like, the second you see it, it's like, okay, this is going to be a massive plot point about something. And then it's not. It's basically used as the Amazons have absolutely incredible technology.
Yeah.
Also, somehow the Amazons who, it's established, oh no, Steve is like the first man to set foot on this island.
Yeah, it confused me about some of these timings and like, he's the first man on this island, because it all seemed very modern and very, I don't know.
So
we'll
one,
see.
There's that, and two, there is that question of, okay, great, you are descended from Greek gods.
Yeah, yeah. He's very chill about it all, to be fair.
And you all speak English. A language that did not exist, and not even English, like, relatively modern English.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, like, very modern, I thought, so.
Yeah, which, considering you've not touched the outside world since before English was, well, there wasn't an England for there to be English in, it's quite incredible. So, anyway. So Steve is then rounded up and taken to prison, and Diana chooses to break him out of prison because
like there seems to be no real reason.
Yes, it's like, oh, you are a man, you are new.
Yeah, it's kind of like it's what we've seen in the film and what I believe is the origin of where they meet, but like. Yeah, it seems very, I mean, they're doing this all before the credits, so this is very fast. So.
Oh yeah, no, the credits are like 20 minutes into the film.
Yeah, yeah.
As she's breaking Wonder Woman out, Wonder Woman has to fight with her mother before effectively being exiled and told, well, you can never come back. Which is weird because I'm sure that it was, like, in Justice League War, they were playing it off as if, oh no, she is representing the Amazons and meeting the president.
Yeah, which is okay.
It's almost like they've cobbled this together. Anyway, so we have almost immediately Steve and Diana flirting.
Yeah, immediate.
Which you then go, oh yeah, and all. So we're just going to ignore the fact that kind of in between she ends up dating Superman. I think they at one point kind of mention it in passing.
They do, and that's what made me kind of realize where we were in that this was a DCAU one and or whatever secret. Like I've suddenly worked out where we were in
the
timeline.
Yeah, because the animation style's quite different in this as
yeah,
well.
Yeah, I always go into them assuming they're like one-offs. So like, yeah. it was quite nice to sort of work out where it was set, or like that knew it was after that and stuff.
So after meeting up with Etta Candy, Wonder Woman then meets Julia Capetulus.
I only remember their first name.
Julia and her daughter Vanessa. No, because there's also Vanessa and Veronica in this film.
Yeah, it's not very easy to work out.
So they meet up with, so Julia is basically obsessed with the idea of Themyscira and the Amazons. And
yeah, which is a little bit weird.
Yep, considering that no one even's meant to know it exists.
Yeah.
But we also see that Julia is rather
stroppy.
Strict when it comes to her daughter.
Yeah, really strict.
And we then get a compilation of, even though Diana's trying to get on with the daughter Vanessa, Vanessa is feeling very left out. Because Julia's too busy.
Yeah, she gets this shiny new friend.
And yeah, there is this sort of, watching the film, there is a kind of impression of kind of, no, I can see why Vanessa's resentful.
Definitely.
And you can tell that she's going through a dark phase because she shaves half her hair.
Yeah, super grumpy.
Yes. And is wearing dark emo clothes.
I mean, yeah, I've had my hair like that before, I should probably say. I was in a pretty emo phase. I don't know what to say. I've literally done that to my own hair when I was at university, so.
Yeah. So, we finished this kind of section of the film with Wonder Woman wearing the outfit that she's wearing in Justice League War. Except randomly now, it's not, she doesn't have, like, full-length tights like she did in the original version.
Yeah, I don't like it, I have to say. I mean, kind of probably knew I was going to say that, but I didn't like it.
Oh, yeah. No, I think it's, I like the Justice League War suit more than this.
Yeah, me too.
I mean, it seems that such a pointless change.
Mm-hmm.
But
you know, I mean, it doesn't look awful, to be honest. It just looks like wearing a swimsuit.
So we cut to 5 years later. Wonder Woman is stopping a bank robbery and then meets back up with Julia, who thinks that Vanessa is in trouble. She is trying to sell off an artifact that belongs to Julia's employer, Veronica Kale.
Mm-hmm.
It's not quite clear if both of them work for her or just Julia or whatever.
Yeah.
Veronica Kale is a villain from the comic books. That's really all you need to know.
Yeah, pretty much.
Kind of seems to be a bit of a, what if we had a Lex Luthor style villain for Wonder Woman?
Pretty much. I mean, that's exactly how it reads, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. So, and not have them play for Pedro Pascal.
Mm-hmm. It's always a shame.
Yeah. So, it's not quite clear what's meant to happen. Look, Wonder Woman, is Julia asking Wonder Woman to stop the sale? Is she asking her to protect
him? I got really confused about all of this. And then suddenly the action sequences would pop up and I'd be a little bit more,
yeah, it's kind of like,
I didn't really understand any of the, like, what they were doing. It's like, oh yeah, she's a bit jealous of Wonder Woman because her mum likes her more, so she goes off and does this absolutely bonkers, let me go be a supervillain.
So what happens is that Vanessa she has an artifact that appears to be something from a snakehead. I'm guessing, well, spoiler, the main villain of this film, even though you don't see them until an hour into the film, is actually Medusa.
Yeah, I got very excited when she showed up. That was cool.
And what I'm assuming this is this is a little bit of Medusa that they then use to make a clone?
Or maybe.
To resurrect
I didn't
her,
really
or...
understand it. Like, honestly, I was just like, okay, I'll roll with it.
So, anyway, Vanessa is meeting up with Dr. Poison. And
yeah, I mean, I kind of wish I did know these characters because they all just sounded dumb.
Dr. Poison is in.
I apologize to anyone who's really into them, but like, you know, Dr. Poison's a dumb name.
I know Dr. Poison appeared in the first Wonder Woman film as well, like the Gal Gadot one. Yeah, she did. She's the person.
She?
Dr. Poison is the woman with the face mask.
Okay.
Like the secondary of the German bad guys.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I know who you mean.
Mm-hmm. So, she is joined by Giganta on behalf of Dr. Cyber. Which, again, is an actual character from
the comic
books.
I actually do know. But it sounds funny.
Oh no, the names in this film are dumb.
Mm.
So anyway, so Wonder Woman jumps in to protect Vanessa, even though Vanessa didn't need protecting. For some reason, Julia goes to a shootout with Steve Trevor. Because if you're a doctor thinking your daughter's really in danger, what you really want to do is be in the same place.
Yeah, that seemed a bit harsh.
And so chaos breaks out. Giganta sizes up to fight Wonder Woman, which would be fine if it wasn't for the dumb metamorphizing sound effect. They have a fight. Wonder Woman mentions, oh, you seem to be stronger than previously, Giganta. Because it turns out Dr. Poison is actually some sort of... She seems to have developed some sort of venom... You know, like a...
Like power-up.
Like power-up
yeah.
serum. Poison gets away with the artifact... And Julia originally appears to have been caught in the crossfire somehow off screen.
Mm-hmm.
You later find out that someone comes in later and shoots her.
Yeah, which again would be good to know.
Also, that reveal is done in the post-credit sequence.
Wow.
Dumb thing about this film. Literally, the post-credit sequence is actually what should have been the end of the film if you're going to use these characters.
I mean, they've done that before, right? But it is really strange.
Yeah. It's almost like we don't have a post-credit scene. Okay, we'll just put the last bit of the film.
It's like, I don't know. I blame everyone for this, but we do not need... I'm over post-credit scenes. I was saying I was talking to someone with that about Marvel films, and I was like, you know what? I'm now going to start just walking out because I'm done with them. Like, I'm kind of done with that whole sit here and we'll advertise another film at you that you'll probably see anyway. So I was like,
especially
just walk
when out. I think it's the difference was it was so. It's when you realize no, that was actually a really. But it only really been done once or twice when Marvel started doing it.
A lot of... Yeah, right. And I mean, like, you'd have... I miss, like, when there were bloopers. And, I mean, to be fair, I think Guardians Volume 2 did that a bit more. Did, like, sort of, you know, either bloopers or behind-the-scenes things.
Well, Marvel had, like, five... Guardians 2 had...
It had loads. It had loads of them. Yeah. But some of them were just like...
skits.
They were little skits, yeah. And it's like, I'd rather see that than this interminable wait to this just so-and-so return or...
Here's a voice cameo by Mahershala Ali for a film that just...
I don't mind
it's
that
trying
one so
to
much
beat the Flash for delays.
Yeah, I don't mind that one. I don't mind the Blade cameo voice thing because it's like that's not a big deal to me. It was like more interesting to hear about Black Knight. But you know, like the end of Quantumania is literally just an advert for Loki season two, and it's like if that's and with footage from Loki season two, and if that's all they're going to be, then I'm just like, eh.
Well, you know, we should enjoy Loki season two. It's the last time we're going to see Jonathan Majors in anything.
Well, that's not 100% true, since his court case is this week, and I'm sure that actually has. We'll find out. We should find out this week if we will ever see him again in anything. But you know, if we don't, it's fully his fault.
So, in the same month that The Flash comes out.
Well, I'm certainly not going to see that. So.
Yeah, but no, that's... No, I'm, that's...
No, I know, I mean, like, you know, but then, you know, like, Josh Brolin was in Thanos, and what's his name's Paul Bettany plays Jarvis, and, like, whatever. You know, it's just like, there's a lot of problematic people in a lot of these films for varying levels of problematicness. I assume that we will find out from Marvel sometime after the court case, because they'll wait for it to legally matter.
Yeah.
But I am already dreading the fanboys telling me that I can ignore what Ezra did because they want to see Michael Keaton.
Oh, no, no, it's not even the fanboys, it's...
No, it is.
No, it's not even... It's more than the fanboys. I mean, literally, you've actually got producers now actively going out of their way saying, oh, people will forget about it.
Well, James Gunn will, but then, you know... He said it's the best film he's seen, and I'm like, okay, you're in charge, and you bring him back, and I'm not seeing any of the films you do.
Yeah. Anyway, so...
Yes, back to this.
We're distracted. So anyway, at one point we do have a clarification that Steve goes, no, it makes no sense, because there is no way she was caught by a ricochet, and no one got near her. So she appears to have been shot somehow else. Mm-hmm. Now, obviously, this also tips off Vanessa into her villain arc.
Proper villain, yeah.
Because she actually joins forces with Dr. Cyber and Dr. Poison. And then we get a strange scene where... Vanessa is nude, but because it is in shadows, it's tasteful.
Yeah, it's lame.
And she gets injected with something, and then we go off screen.
Yeah.
For her to randomly kill one of the people who is supplying Dr. Cyber and Dr. Poison. And this is how Wonder Woman finds out about that Vanessa is now killing people.
I know, that's what I mean. It's a fairly ramp up to villainy just for being jealous.
Yeah. So, meanwhile, we find out that this version of... Firstly, one, it's never quite made clear what Steve Trevor and Etta Candy are politically. Are they operatives of the
government? I have no idea. They just pop up and they just carry on chatting.
But somehow Etta Candy is able to get hold of an invisible jet.
Yes.
and also has to steal it from the US government.
Yes.
Yeah. Because Etta Candy in this film is like a spy master almost. It almost seems that like what they've actually tried to do is kind of parallel, basically the villains. Because this is a villain team up movie. Mm-hmm. they seem to almost be deliberately setting up Etta Candy's like, and this is the equivalent to Dr. Cyber.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So, it's a whole weird situation that just kept wrong-footing me throughout.
Yeah. I'm going to be honest, it's because there's just random bits of quite lazy writing.
I'm absolutely certain that's what it is. And also needing to sort of segue from one bit of story they want to get to the other with lazy writing.
Oh, no, it feels like a film where they've gone, we want this scene, this scene, this scene, this scene, and then we're going to try and link them together.
Exactly. It feels like they know what scenes they want.
Yeah. So, also, Steve and Wonder Woman flirt again. I think this is the point where Wonder Woman basically goes, oh, I'm not dating Superman now. So they drop into the base where Dr. Poison is leaving in a jet with a prototype.
Mm-hmm.
So Vanessa starts to fight with Wonder Woman in her Silver Swan wingsuit.
Yeah, that's right. She's Silver Swan is her villain name.
Yes. So Wonder Woman does knock her out.
Because, let's face it, she's Wonder Woman.
And she notices that Poison got away. They decide to go to Veronica Kale to examine Vanessa because we have to bring Veronica Kale into the film somehow.
I mean, again, it feels really forced.
So we find out that Vanessa has been injected with a nanite virus that is slowly spreading through her body, making her more and more metallic. And basically the idea seems to be, oh, it's going to take over her whole entire body. And then she will just be a pure machine.
Wow.
Because we haven't done Metallo in this universe, so we might as well do a similar idea.
Yeah, that's true, that's true.
So, Wonder Woman then goes, oh, I know what could fix the problem. Our impossibly magical cure-everything button in Themyscira.
Yeah, it's crazy.
Unfortunately, we do not know how to get to Themyscira.
Yeah, I've forgotten.
So, we end up, they get sent into Julia's research pile of books, where they mention...
Good job, she's totally, fascinated by Themyscira.
Yep, which... It's amazing since no one actually knows it exists.
Yeah, right.
But anyway, so they also at this point mention in passing, oh yeah, Medusa was a thing.
Yeah. I did like her. I mean, it did perk me up when she appeared.
We'll just omit the whole creation of Medusa, which is not... It's typical Greek mythology.
Yeah.
Is that not the... Am I mixing this up? Medusa's the one who gets essayed by one god in another god's temple, so she gets punished for that.
Yeah.
I don't know. Greek...
It's not very fair.
It's Greek mythology. So, they then find clues to the temple of Pasiphae.
Yeah, I don't know how it's pronounced either.
Who in Greek mythology is the wife of King Minos and the mother of Ariadne, yeah. And another famous Greek creature.
Yes, the Minotaur.
Because they do try to kind of string this out.
Oh, yeah. This goes on way too long. Like, on almost every section, it goes on way too long.
It's like, they couldn't say, Oh, it is on the island of Minos. Yo, look, just spell it. It's on the island of Minos. There's probably a labyrinth. Because, yes, we are going to get the Minotaur in this film.
Yes.
So, they arrive at, well, the labyrinth. And they are attacked by Cheetah.
Yeah, I'm like, hooray, one I've actually heard of.
And...
I mean, that's not true. I have heard of Giganta as well.
So, Cheetah then injects a serum that makes her stronger and more animalistic.
Mm-hmm.
Which makes her able to virtually teleport! Meanwhile, Etta Candy and Steve manage to outsmart the Minotaur into smashing through the labyrinth to create a direct path to the center of the maze, which causes the poor lad to basically be knocked unconscious. And then they name him Ferdinand.
Yes. Which is cute. But very bull-like name.
And he's voiced by... This is the as I mentioned in passing, this is the... this is where Michael Dorn appears.
It's a great choice.
So, Wonder Woman traps Cheetah in the invisible jet and then beats her up because she's closed the space down. We don't get to see this epic beatdown.
Thankfully. Well, maybe we would like to see it, but we have had quite a lot of fights, so...
And we see Cheetah tied up with the Lasso of Truth, and we get the gag of, oh, why are you leaving me tied up? Because, broke Pixon, I completely deserve it. So, one woman arrives at the shrine. She drinks from the shrine, asking where Femaskira is. She has a weird set of visions, and then she destroys this artifact because it frees the Minotaur's mind.
Which is great. Suddenly I was like happy again. I was like, okay, good. We're liberating the Minotaur.
And
I'm not really sure how, I mean, like, I know I should know how this all connects up, but I just didn't care at that point. I was like, I like the Minotaur. I was happy again. I was like, okay, I know what I'm doing here.
And then he starts working as a butler. Because Wonder Woman needs an Alfred.
I mean, to be fair, he'd be a pretty good butler. Maybe not. I mean, I don't know how good he is at, like, preparing tea and stuff, but he'd be pretty good at, you know...
I'd be a bit concerned that most of his recipes involve long pork.
Possibly.
So, anyway, we then get, so they go back to Veronica Kale, who notices her her logo is carved onto molecules that Poison has been using, and also in Vanessa's blood.
Crazy.
Shock horror, guess who the big mastermind of all of this actually is?
I know, this is a big shock.
So, Veronica and Wonder Woman are then able to use some of the fish that show up in Diana's vision to pinpoint the location of Femaskira.
Yeah, I mean, I was just like, the whole forgetting where Femaskira is just seemed very strange.
Mm-hmm.
So everything related to it seemed very strange.
I mean, to be fair, it is more detective work than Batman gets to do in the average movie.
That's true.
And then, randomly, cyber attacks and reactivates Vanessa. And triggers the self-destruct sequence in that floor. But only that floor. And no one is on that floor. And the only thing that is on this floor is the evidence. Which is enough to make Veronica Kale look innocent. Oh, also, I forgot to mention, it turns out later, Cyber is just an AI / robot.
Of course. Which is weird, right? Weird.
And they don't even do... It's not even done as, like, a reveal later. It's just when someone punches through Cyber's chest. It's like, oh, they were a robot.
It's very strange.
So, Vanessa is already stronger and actually gives more of a fight against Wonder Woman. So, she then gets away as Wonder Woman has to save the ordinary people. And we get a suit-up montage. Wonder Woman is in her old suit, which is...
nicer.
It's, you know, it's a nice, it's the traditional Wonder Woman armor.
Yeah.
And they fly over to Themyscira. The Steve and Wonder Woman kiss on the plane. And they arrive to find Themyscira under assault as a plane with Cyber, Vanessa, Poison, and the prototype are there. The prototype drops and it's Medusa.
Yay, Medusa.
This is an hour into the film and Medusa's actually the main villain.
I know, it makes... Oh, I don't know, I really lost it during this film. I'm sorry, everyone.
The issue is it would be fine if we even had, like, a scene showing Medusa late. I mean, literally, because also... They also mention Villainy Inc. in passing, which is something from the comic books.
Mm-hmm.
But they mention it so utterly in passing.
Yeah, it's really, really in passing. It's like, it's just, everything's kind of, it really just does feel like we keep jumping just to get to the point. And now we've got the, oh, right, okay, it's Medusa now. And I'm like, okay, Medusa is cool, but okay.
Yeah.
It was still a bit random.
So, Medusa then, Dr. Poison and Dr. Cyber seem to think that they can control their clone Medusa. She punches through Cyber's chest. Dr. Poison then goes, no, wait, I've got, like, super serum.
Of course.
So that you can get all the abilities we gave to Cheetah and Giganta in this film. And Medusa does end up using this serum, but she uses a second power that she has, which is she can compel people to look at her.
Which helps.
Also, apparently...
I mean, that would help if you were her, you know.
This is the other thing. It's not quite clear how Medusa's petrifying stare works.
No.
Because sometimes it's Medusa looks at them. Sometimes it's that person needs to look Medusa in the eyes.
Yeah. I mean, I've always thought that Medusa has to look at them but catch their eye. Maybe not, you know, exactly get them, but...
But, for example, when Dr. Poison is looking at her with goggles on, she doesn't get petrified.
Yeah.
But when Steve is looking through a sniper lens? Scope. He does get petrified.
Yeah. Too bad.
Yeah, so... Wonder Woman then tries to fight Medusa whilst her mother, Queen Hippolyta, who in every other depiction is portrayed as this warrior, queen, whatever, goes, no, let us all hide in the keep.
Yes, very dumb.
So... Wonder Woman gets beaten up Oh, also, Wonder Woman and Vanessa have had another fight, by the way. Just whatever.
Just by the way.
And Wonder Woman is doing the, I can sense the good in you.
It's very annoying.
So, also, Medusa has incredibly, look, the snakes on Medusa's head have, like, acidic venom. Which means it's really sore when they bite you, but it doesn't kill you.
Yeah, thankfully.
Vanessa starts to fight against Medusa as well.
Which helps.
But Wonder Woman deliberately blinds herself with Medusa venom.
Which, yeah, and she's going to go do this fight blind. I mean, it's pretty smart.
It's a smart but you have to be, tactic.
You have to know that you can fight blind.
That's the one thing is, because they did, what would have been interesting actually, because here's something you could have done. Right. And I think, I wonder if this is what they tried to do. What you could have done is, see when she'd fought Cheetah?
Mm-hmm.
You could have been, why have you done this? It's like, oh, I can fight you without looking.
Yeah.
And I actually had that be a like,
yeah,
oh, it's
yeah.
pitch black. Well, I can still fight you. Like, have it be like, oh no, she can fight off blind, and then at least it makes more sense. But it ends with Wonder Woman successfully decapitating Medusa, which undoes all the petrifications.
Thankfully. I mean, that's pretty lucky, right?
And this is enough for Hippolyta to reconcile with her daughter. And then,
I mean, that's fair enough. You know, she's done something good.
And then Wonder Woman and Vanessa are cured by the Cure Everything Ray, as is Steve. For no discernible reason. They just have Steve there as well.
Yeah.
He's having a spa day.
Yeah.
And they mentioned, oh, the Amazons are going to join the rest of the world. Even though I don't think they show up in the next film. And also, Etta Candy manages to successfully go on the pull. And
which is nice for her, you know.
It's kind of hinted that Vanessa is going to join the Amazons.
Yeah, I don't know if you can really join them officially, but I guess you can go live with them.
And then we cut to mid-credits, where Wonder Woman confronts Veronica Kale and says, no, it turns out you are behind everything. You killed Julia. So I'm going to give you a sword so you can fight me.
Right? Like, it's not just me thinking that's a bit strange.
Which we're then going to do to set up, like, a sequel, even though this film is absolutely not going to get a sequel.
Mm. Well, it doesn't deserve a sequel, in my opinion, so...
So that was Wonder Woman Bloodlines. It was certainly a film.
I think it's incredibly dull, honestly. Like, I struggle to keep my attention. You may have gathered from that, but I think, really did struggle to keep my attention.
Yeah, it's one of those... Right. It's one of those films where it's like, there are individual scenes that are really good.
Agreed.
But as a whole, it's very uneven.
I really did struggle with it, like, and I was trying. I had nothing else on, and I was just like, but I was just like, just every so often, I don't really understand how we've now jumped to this bit, and then I'd watch it and I'd enjoy it. So exactly what you're saying, and then I'd all of a sudden be like, I don't really understand. I mean, I don't think I could recommend this to anyone.
I mean, it's maybe in the top three Wonder Woman animated films, but that's because I think there's only one or two of those, but it's, other than that, yeah, it is just kind of,
it's just there, and it's, I don't dislike the acting. I don't. It's like the animation. It's just the story is just all over the place. There's so much like being bombarded at you.
Yeah.
That you're just like, I don't really. And then all of a sudden you lose track for 5 seconds, and they're suddenly fighting a whole new set of people.
Yep. Anyway, so this is, as I said, the last film before Justice League Dark Apocalypse War, which is the finale to the DCAMU.
Which, interesting.
I mean, it's certainly been interesting watching DC attempting to build a universe. And to be fair, I think it did a better job of building a film universe than anything other than Marvel has been able to achieve in modern times.
Well, I don't know. I think we have to put Mission Impossible and Fast and the Furious in there. but yes, I mean, in terms of comic book ones, for sure. Yeah. I mean, whether I like them or not, I think they do kind of count as cinematic universes, or maybe they're just long-running.
They're more long-running series, I would say.
Although they're quite different, some of them. Like, you know, like Fast and Furious 5 jumps over to Japan, and Mission Impossible brings in new actors. It'll be all right, yeah, maybe. Maybe they're a bit different. They are different, yeah.
So, anyway, our next film that we've got coming up is Superman Red Son.
Ooh.
An adaptation of the Mark Miller comic book. So,
make sure I have that right now.
After that, we've got the last Lego DC film, which is Shazam Magic and Monsters. Then we've got the topper to the DC Animated Universe, Justice League Dark Apocalypse War. We're then doing the DC Showcase, which is not an official collection, but it's basically it's all the... the mini movies, so it's Catwoman, Sergeant Rock, Death, The Phantom Stranger, and Adam Strange.
Yeah, it should be interesting.
And then we immediately kick off into the next movie universe, which is Superman Man of Tomorrow.
Interesting, okay.
Which is the start of the Tomorrowverse.
What's that?
Which is Superman, Man of Tomorrow, Justice Society, World War II, Batman the Long Halloween, Green Lantern, Beware My Power, Legion of Superheroes, and there's a bunch of other movies that will be coming out, including Justice League War World, which comes out in July of this year.
Oh. Okay, so is the Tomorrowverse what we're in now?
The Tomorrowverse is the current universe that's running,
okay.
Yes.
Okay, that's all I really needed to know, but thank you.
Which, Darren Criss plays Superman.
Oh yeah, I like him.
Zachary Quinto's playing Lex Luthor.
Oh, I love him.
Jensen Ackles is playing Batman.
Love him. Bring it on, I'm into this.
Yeah, I mean...
This is all stunt casting, by the way, but...
Oh, no, absolutely, this is stunt casting. That said, they are giving voice actors out other roles.
Oh, that's nice of them.
Oh, no, there is a lot of stunt casting in it, though.
No, I know. That's cool.
That said, I mean, to be fair, Jensen Ackles... He has done plenty of.
Yeah.
Oh.
What?
Oh no, it does. Yeah, because I was going, when does Death in the Family happen? But that's after Man of Tomorrow.
Okay.
There's also a Deathstroke movie coming up.
Oh God. Okay. Cool. Into it. Let's do it. Tomorrowverse.
Yep. So, but yeah, it's literally we go from... Oh my god, we actually do. It's Apocalypse War. Then straight into the... So it's the end of the DCMU. immediately into the Tomorrowverse.
Wow. Why not, I guess. Why not?
I mean, when has DC ever gone from one massive universe immediately into a second one?
Well, I don't know, because like with the films, we've kind of got this weird interregnum.
Yeah.
Of films I have no intention of watching. So.
Anyway, so have you appeared in any other? Oh no, no, we do not pick fights with the Snyder fans. So, have you appeared in any other podcasts recently?
Yes, Moon Knight podcast. We've got quite a few bit of news about Moon Knight, so that took a while.
Excellent.
How about you and your robots?
Yep, we're still in Rise of the Robots. We are, by the time this comes out, we're in this really strange position where we're really prepared. We've got, like, we're recording tomorrow, and that will have 7 weeks in the can.
Wow. Wow.
Yeah.
We'll have to start being good like that before your holiday, my holiday, whatever.
You're right.
Yeah. Not quite that many. Not 7 in the can. Maybe have 3 in the can.
Yeah.
But yeah, we'll have to start thinking about that.
Well, maybe we can start with that by covering Superman Red Sun.
Hooray.
Hooray.